Welcome, great patriotic friends, to January 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. So I've been talking to you for the last few days about possibly changing the name of the show, in addition to some of the other changes that I'm making to it. And I'm just having a heck of a time trying to come up with a name, actually. This is where your help would be appreciated. Should I leave the name the way it is? Should I just shorten it to Joe's Daily U.S. History? Or maybe name it to Joe's Daily U.S. History Nugget? U.S. History Insights by Joe? Joe's U.S. History Muses? U.S. History Flashes? I don't know. What do you think? Or do you have a better one? I'm hoping you do. Let me know on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thank you very much for that. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's headlines. New Mexico becomes the 47th state, plus Nancy Kerrigan is attacked, and Michael Jackson is declared the best-selling artist of the year 2010. All right, so now let's do this. 1759, happy anniversary, George and Martha Washington. Of all the decisions he's ever had to make, that might have been the best. I'm guessing probably the easiest. Martha had just lost her husband a year and a half prior to her marriage to George. When she was 18, Martha married a wealthy man named Daniel Custis, who was 20 years her senior. She helped him manage his massive estate with 100 slaves and had four children with him, two that would die in infancy. In 1757, Daniel died, leaving Martha a widow raising two children. George, who was born just a few months before Martha, at the time was already a well-respected soldier who acted with bravery and courage while fighting for the British during the French and Indian Wars. They were both 26 when they met. Most women in Virginia grew up illiterate during the 18th century, but not Martha, who had a good education and could read, write, and do basic math. She missed her late husband, but wanted to be married again. George, who actually had his eyes on Sally Fairfax next door, realized once Sally married another man that it was time for him to take the concept of marriage seriously. And as pretty as Sally may have been, Martha was extraordinary. George's half-brother Lawrence had just passed away, leaving him Mount Vernon. He visited Martha a couple times at her place, and on this day in 1759, they tied the knot. Where George showed strength and leadership, Martha showed elegance and nurture. Life as newlyweds could not have been better at Mount Vernon. George and Martha completely renovated and spared no expense. The children, Jackie and Patsy, led a very comfortable childhood. After the Revolution broke out, Martha would get together with the wives of other senior officers, and they would help out in any way they could with medical supplies, water, and food. In 1778, she joined her husband at Valley Forge. Martha's daughter Patsy had died of an epileptic seizure when she was a teenager. Jackie had already gotten married to his wife Nellie, and they had six children together. Jackie wanted to join his stepfather in battle, but only a few days after he enlisted in 1781, he developed camp fever and died. Martha had outlived all of her children. Not only that, but three out of her six grandchildren also died of illness. George told her to go back to Mount Vernon. The war continued for 7 long years, after which they settled down at Mount Vernon, but, of course, not for long, as it became clear that George would have to leave this new country. For thousands of years, the world knew only royalties and quasi-royalties, but America was a republic. Mrs. W is no queen, so it was unclear how she should act. She decided to simply be herself, and being the first lady wasn't easy. In addition to dealing with colonial paparazzi, Martha and George were greatly concerned about their image. Finally, after completing his second term, President and First Lady Washington retired to their vine and fig trees at Vernon. George died December 14, 1799, and Martha died May 22, 1802, with granddaughter Nellie at her side. European powers took note immediately of Lady W and the tone she set. She didn't have the attitude of an English monarch, and she wasn't about to tell the people to let them have their cake like Marie Antoinette was doing at that time in France. Martha had already managed her own plantation. She was graceful and simple, intelligent, motherly, and set an example for the rest of the world. And to the rest of the world, that example was American. 1994. Wish I had more time for this story. Kerrigan is attacked. Olympic skater Nancy Kerrigan had a rival named Tanya Harding. Harding had an ex-husband named Jeff Gilhooley, who met with Sean Eckhart and plotted to take Kerrigan out of Olympic contention. Eckhart met with Derek Smith and Shane Stant, who arranged the attack. On December 28th, Stant arrived in Massachusetts, where Nancy was practicing, but went to the wrong location and screwed up the whole plan. So Smith caught up with her in Detroit with a baton in hand, and as Nancy was walking out of the skating rink after practice, the whack was heard round the world. He managed to bruise her leg instead of breaking it, which was his intention, but it was good enough. Nancy was out of contention, and Harding was in. Stant turned in Smith to the authorities, then Smith turned in Gilhooley, then Gilhooley turned in Harding. Tanya's career would never be the same after that, unless you include her subsequent boxing career. 2010. According to Nielsen SoundScan's final 2009 figures, Michael Jackson was the best-selling artist of the year, moving over 8 million units. 40 years after their breakup, the Beatles were still the best-selling group thanks to their remastering catalog, which sold 3 million copies. Digital downloads, however, were a different story. Lady Gaga was the queen of the downloads, selling 15 million digital tracks, and the Black Eyed Peas, Michael Jackson, and Taylor Swift all finished in the vicinity of 12 million digital units. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for January 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what your take is on today's show. Like I said earlier, I do take requests. So if you have something you want me to talk about, just let me know right there as well. Have you ever been to Martha's Vineyard? Are we even allowed? Or what about that story on Nancy Kerrigan? Is that not a classic American tale? It's just so obnoxious, it borderlines on hilarious. But yeah, let me know what you think. Be sure to check out tomorrow's program. We'll wish a happy birthday to President Millard Fillmore and Nikola Tesla. So don't miss that. And until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans, and we will see you tomorrow.